بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، قال إمام أحمد رحمه الله: والإيمان بالرؤية يوم القيامة كما روي عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من الأحاديث الصحاح، وأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قد رأى ربه، فإنه مأثور عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صحيح. رواه قتادة عن عكرمة عن ابن عباس، رواه الحكم ابن أبان عن عكرمة عن ابن عباس، ورواه علي بن زيد عن يوسف بن مهران عن ابن عباس. والحديث عندنا على ظاهره كما جاء عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، والكلام فيه بدعة، ولكن نؤمن به كما جاء عن ظاهره ولا نناظر فيه أحدا. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah says in Usul Sunnah, and that we believe in the ru'yah, we believe in seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah, just as it has been authentically reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the authentic narrations, and that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw his Lord. I will explain what the Shaykh Rabi will explain what he means by that. For it is being reported authentically from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the authority of Qatada and Ikrimah and Ibn Abbas, and likewise it is reported from Hakim ibn Aban and Ikrimah and Ibn Abbas, and likewise Ibn Ali ibn Zayd and Yusuf ibn Mahran and Ibn Abbas. And the hadith with us, he says, ala zahirihi, yani is to be taken upon its apparent meaning, kama jaa, just as it has come from the Prophet. And to speak about it, yani in argumentation over it, it is innovation. وَلَكِنْ نُؤْمِنُ بِهِ وَلَكِنْ وَابَ But, however, we believe in it. كَمَا جَاءَ عَنْ ظَاهِرِ عَلَى ظَاهِرِهِ Just as it has come upon its facial, yani upon its apparent understanding. And we don't argue with anyone over it, over the seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaykh Rabi' Habudullah says, he says, after quoting that section, هَذِهِ الْمَسْأَلَةِ حَصَلَ فِيهَا خِلَافٍ This affair, there's some slight differences that occurred. Did the Messenger ﷺ see Allah in the night journey, or did he not see Allah? So some of the people said, they used the statement of Ibn Abbas, and that is that he saw Allah. That is, the Messenger ﷺ saw Allah. And that is the position of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. And they understood from their speech that they are saying that the Prophet ﷺ saw him with his eyes. But that is not so apparent in their speech. But they used their speech to say he saw him with his eyes. Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says, The statement of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah that the Prophet ﷺ saw Allah, when he quoted the proof or the statement of Ibn Abbas, then let it be known that sometimes this narration of Ibn Abbas that Prophet ﷺ saw Allah is sometimes mentioned in general, and sometimes there are narrations which give more detail. For Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said, Ra'a Muhammadun Rabbahu, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw his Lord. And there is another narration where he specifically said, with his heart. With his heart. And this does not negate, and this does not contradict what Aisha radiallahu anha, where she said, whoever says that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw his Lord in the night journey, then he has lied. She means with his eyes. With his eyes. So Aisha radiallahu anha's statement and Ibn Abbas radiallahu anha's statement, the two statements of Ibn Abbas, if you take them, you will understand that there is no contradiction between the statement of Aisha radiallahu anha and Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. There's no contradiction, he says, between both of those narrations. Was sahih كما يقول ابن تيمية. And what is authentic, Shaykh Rabbi says, is what Ibn Taymiyyah says. لم يثبت. It is not authentically established from the Book of Allah, nor in the Sunnah of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم saw Allah, يعني with his eyes. And this is exactly the position of both those two great companions. Aisha radiallahu anha, who says, whoever saw the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, whoever says that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم saw Allah with his eyes, then he has lied. يعني she means with his eyes. For he did not see Allah, no eyes can see Allah in this world, in this dunya, no eyes can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And and even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he spoke to Musa alayhi salatu salam, he said, if the mountain stays put, you will be able to see me. And in the end, what happened? The mountain crumbled. So even Musa alayhi salatu salam was not able to see Allah with his own eyes. But rather, it is, as he said by Ibn Abbas, he saw him with his heart. يعني, and he said, Nurun, الذي أراه, يعني, he saw light. That is what he saw. So Aisha, when she was asked, that's what she meant when she said, no eyes saw Allah. إِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا سَرَأَ رَبَّهُ فَقَدْ أَعْظَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْفِرِيهِ. Whoever says that the Prophet saw Allah, then he has slandered Allah. A great slander. So Masruq, one of the students, he asked her, he said to her, O Ummul Mu'mineen, didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, مَا كَذَبَ الْفُؤَادُ مَا رَأَى, يعني the fu'ad, the heart, did not deny what it saw, what the heart saw. وَلَقَدْ رَأَاهُ نَزْلَةً أُخْرَى, and he saw him again, يعني وَلَقَدْ رَأَاهُ نَزْلَةً أُخْرَى, another time. قَالَتْ لَهُ, she replied when he mentioned these two verses, أنا أول هذه الأمة سأل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن هذا. She says, I'm from the first of this ummah who asked the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم this. قال ذلك جبريل رآه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said that these two verses refer to Jibril, that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم saw. It wasn't Allah عز وجل, but rather these two verses refer to Jibril. رآه في هيئته التي خلقه الله عليها مرتين. He saw him upon his creation, يعني that Allah created Jibreel in a particular form and fashion. He saw him in that particular form and fashion that Allah created Jibreel twice. For indeed, the Prophet saw Jibreel with 700 wings, and one of the wings was enough to cover the whole of the horizon. سَادًا مَا بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ يعني مَا رَآهُ عَلَى هَيْئَتِهِ الَّتِي خَلَقَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهَا إِلَّا مَرَّتَيْنِ فَيَرَاهُ قَدْ سَدَّ مَا بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ لعظم خلقه فالآية تعني رؤية محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم لجبريل. And that all that narration there regarding those two verses that could be misunderstood, Surah Al-Najm 13 and Surah Al-Najm 11, then that hadith there is in Sahih Muslim, كتاب الإيمان. وسئل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كما في حديث أبي ذر رضي الله عنه بالإضافة إلى حديث عائشة قال نور أن أراه. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم himself was asked, he said it was light that I saw. يعني بعيد, meaning it is far away and it was difficult for me to see, as Sheikh Rabbi Habudah said. والإسنادان اللذان ساقهما إلى ابن عباس كلاهما فيه ضعف. And the two isnads that Imam Ahmad rahimahullah brought regarding Ibn Abbas's statement, both of them, they have weakness in them, he says. رواه الحكم ابن أبان ابن عكرمة ابن عباس. That's the first one, that's the second one, that, and he says that حكم ابن أبان هذا صدوق له أوهام. He is known to be truthful, but he has يعني أوهام. As Hafidh Ibn Hajar rahimahullah says about him, and أوهام basically sometimes he says يعني the wrong things based upon confusion or based upon نعم. وهذا في الإسناد الأول, he says. As for the second إسناد, then in it in the other two إسناد of Ibn Abbas, then both of them, they have weakness in them. So these are the three isnads that Imam Ahmad rahimahullah mentioned, and they have dhaf. ولكن Shaykh Rabbi Habudah says في الإسناد الثاني فيه علي ابن زيد ابن جدعان, and he is ضعيف. وفيه يوسف بن مهران مجهول, he is unknown. لم يروي عنه إلا علي ابن زيد الجدعان بابن جدعان ابن جدعان. عرفتم؟ فهم موقوفان. قول موقوف عن ابن عباس عارضه المرفوع عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وإذا تعارض الموقوف والمرفوع تقدم أيهما. So which one is to be taken? That which is مرفوع from Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه عنهما, or that which is موقوف, يعني it is not raised to be from the statement of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. هذا على فرض أنه يفيد الرؤية بالعين. نعم, يقول هذا تنزلا, وإلا فالصحيح أن إطلاق هذا إن ثبت يقيد بالحديث الثابت رأى ربه بفؤاده. So what is authentically reported, he says, is that the Prophet saw Allah يعني with his heart, يعني not with his eyes. فقيد ابن عباس نفسه الرؤيا. So Ibn Abbas, even he himself specified this when he mentioned that it was with his heart that he saw. And this is what Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah mentions, and that's what he clarifies, and Shaykh Rabi' Hafidhullah summarized that. وَالصَّوَابُ هُوَ التَّقْيِيدُ, and that which is correct is التَّقْيِيد, that the Prophet ﷺ did not see Allah with his eyes but rather with his heart. إِذَن مَا فِيهِ خِلَافٍ بَيْنَ الصَّحَابَةِ, so therefore there is no difference between the companions, but the أَهْلُ الْأَهْوَاء, the people of desires, الَّذِينَ يُرَوِّجُونَ الْخِلَافَاتِ, those who like to bring about the differences في الأصول والعقائد, with regards to the affairs of the fundamentals of this deen as well as the beliefs, they say that the Sahaba اختلفوا في العقائد, that they differed with regards to the beliefs. هذا كذب, this is a lie. ما اختلفوا, they did not differ in aspects of belief. عائشة رضي الله عنها كانت تنفي الرؤية بالبصر, she used to negate the seeing with the eyes. And Ibn Abbas, he used to affirm the seeing with their heart. So where is the difference? ما فيه, عرفتم, did you come to know? ويختم الكلام على هذه ويقول والحديث عندنا على ظاهره. And Imam Ahmad رحمه الله ends the section by saying that we take the apparent meaning to this رؤيا, to this seeing. قد يفهم منه أنه يرى أن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم رأى ربه بعينه بناء على حديث ابن عباس. It may be understood from some people that Imam Ahmad rahimahullah is actually affirming that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma saw, he said that the Prophet saw Allah with his eyes. وَقَدْ عَرَفْتُمْ أَنَّ حَدِيثِ ابْنِ عَبَّاسِ, but you have come to know that the hadith of Ibn Abbas is not actually affirming that, but rather the hadith of Ibn Abbas, the one where he says he saw Allah, that one, the general one, is not authentic. And as for the specific one, he saw him with his heart, that is the one that we take as being from the Darajat al-Hasan, yani as an acceptable narration due to its supporting narrations. ثُمَّ إِنَّهُ مُقَيَّدُ بِحَدِيثٍ صَحِيحٍ, and also it is also approved, and it is further understood with the full detail with regards another hadith which is authentic, which we have just mentioned, that نُورٌ أَنَّ أَرَاهُ, it was light that I saw, yani not Allah. فَيُحْمَلُ كَلَامُهُ الْمُطْلَقُ عَلَى التَّقْيِيدِ بَارَكَ اللَّهُ فِيكُمْ وَتَكُونُ النَّتِيجَةُ أَنَّهُ لَا خِلَافَ فِي الْقَدِيَّةِ بَيْنَ الصَّحَابَةِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. أَمَّا الْمُتَأَخِّرُونَ بَعْضُهُمْ تَأَثَّرَ بِكَلَامِ أَحْمَدَ وَظَنَّ أَنَّهُ يَقُولُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَأَى رَبَّهُ بِعَيْنَيْهِ وَفَهِمَهُ هَذَا خَطَأٌ إِذْ إِنَّ أَحْمَدَ كَانَ يُقَيِّدُ. So those who misunderstood the statement Imam Ahmad rahimullah later, and they thought that Imam Ahmad rahimullah is actually saying that Muhammad saw Allah with his eyes, Imam Ahmad rahimullah is not affirming that, but rather is affirming that the Prophet saw Allah yani with his heart, and with that, then there is no difference of opinion amongst the Sahaba in this affair. The second section, الإيمان بالميزان يوم القيامة. And just to affirm, and just to further add to the ru'ya, or the belief in the ru'ya, then there are many proofs, there are many other proofs to prove the ru'ya on the Day of Judgment. As for the ru'ya which we have just looked at, that is referring to the ru'ya in this dunya. No eyes can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya. But in the hereafter, the believers will see Allah. And there, some of the scholars said that on the Day of Judgment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will bare his shin, and the hypocrites will try to bow down to Allah, they will not be able to bow down because they were not used to doing ruku'. they were not used to doing ruku', so this back will be made yani like a firm, not able to move. And the believers, they will be able to bow down to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they were used to bowing down to Allah. And this shows you the greatness of the salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أقيموا الصلاة لدلوك الشمس إلى غسق من الليل وقرآن الفجر إن قرآن الفجر كان مشهودا. Establish the prayer لدلوك الشمس while the sun is out. When is the sun out? For ظهر and عصر. إلى غسق من الليل, until يعني the nightfall. What two prayers are in the until the night? In the night, مغرب and عشاء وقرآن الفجر. And the قرآن الفجر, إن قرآن الفجر كان مشهودا. Indeed, the Quran of Al-Fajr, it is witnessed. It is witnessed by angels. And Shaykh Abdul Masih Abbad, Hafidullah, explained that that is the time, the Salat Al-Fajr is the time when the angel of the night and the angel of the day, they swap shifts. So both of them witness the Salat Al-Fajr, and both of them witness whether the person has prayed the Salat Al-Fajr. And if you are praying Fajr in Jama'ah, then that is khair upon khair upon you, and that is inshallah will be for your baqiyat al-salihat on yawm al-qiyamah, that you have bore witness to the salat al-fajr in jama'ah. And indeed the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that the one who alladhi salla al-fajr fi jama'ah, the one who prayed fajr in jama'ah, then he will be tahta dhimmatillah, he will be under the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the evening. So there is great reward of praying the jama'ah prayer, even though you don't hear the adhan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. He didn't say, وَارْكَعُوا فِي بَيْتَكْ فِي بِيُوتِكُمْ. He didn't say, bow in your houses, or prostrate in your houses. وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. And bow with those who bow down, yani with the jama'ah. And the Prophet wished to burn the houses of those who do not pray, yani in the masajid. Those who do not pray in the masajid. He wished to do this, he didn't do it. But it shows you the seriousness of those mutakhallifun, those who do not pray in the jama'ah. For the jama'ah has great reward. Yani 25 times in one narration, 27 times to whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills with regards the reward of praying in jama'ah. And each step you make towards the masjid, Allah raises you a degree. And He removes a sin. And not only that, subhanallah, you are in the salah. In one narration it says, you are in the salah so long as you have done wudu correctly and you've gone towards the prayer. Allahu Akbar. So long as you do not yani do silly things on the way, so long as you do not do yani you mess around and stuff like that on the way, then you are in the salah even though you have not even entered the prayer. Subhanallah, you are in the prayer, waiting for the salah, going to the salah, you will get that reward inshallah of being in the prayer. The condition is you do not mess around, fidget and so on, with intertwining your fingers and so on, and likewise you do not yani preoccupied away from the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making the dua in the morning. For example, if you come for fajr, you make the dua in the morning. Allahumma ja'al fi qalbi nura, wa ja'al fi sam'i nura, wa basari nura, wa mami nura, wa khalfi nura, wa an yamini nura, wa shimani nura, wa fawqi nura, Allahumma a'tini nura, wa tahti nura, Allahumma a'tini nura. So asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you light. And that light is guidance. That is guidance. So the believer who strives his utmost to pray Fajr and Asr in Jama'ah, the Prophet ﷺ said in one narration, then for those who wanted to see Allah, he said, then help me by praying Fajr and Isha, Fajr and Asr. Help me by praying Fajr and Asr. Yani, by being continuous, not missing these two great salawat. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hafidhu ala salawati wa salatil wusta, guard the prayers, especially the middle prayer. Guard the prayers, especially the middle prayer, meaning Salat al Asr. And the Prophet ﷺ said the two prayers that are hard upon the hypocrites, they are the Salat al-Isha and Fajr. And if my Ummah knew what is in these two prayers, they will come to the prayer crawling. Yani habwan, yani with the habu, in Arabic habu basically means they will be in their hands and knees. They will come in their hands and knees praying, coming to the prayer. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ لِلذِّكْرِ, establish the prayer for my remembrance. So the prayer is from the greatest remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions that those people who will enter the hellfire, from the reasons that they will enter the hellfire is that they did not establish the prayer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي السَّقَرْ. It will be said to those who enter hellfire, what? Why did you end up in the saqar? قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. They said, we were not of those who prayed. ولم نكن من ال قالوا لم نكن من المصلين ولم نكن نطعم المسكين and we were not of those who gave charity to the poor وكنا نخوض مع الخائضين and we were hanging around with the bad people وكنا نكذب بيوم الدين and we used to deny the coming of the day of judgment. Sheikh Saif Ozan says the fact that Allah mentioned the prayer here with the day of judgment, it shows us that this is one of the greatest proofs to say Tariq al-Salah is a disbeliever, the one who leaves the prayer not only يعني, by rejection but also takasulan وتعاونan by being يعني, lazy and by being يعني, تعاونan by being neglectful, not doing their best to catch the prayer to pray, then that shows you that is one of the signs that they deny a judgment coming. That is what Sheikh Saif Ozan says, even though there is difference of opinion with regards the one who leaves the prayer lazily. But as for leaving the prayer by rejecting it, then there is no difference of opinion regarding that. All of the ulama agree that those who reject the prayer and leave the prayer by rejection, then they are disbelievers. They are disbelievers. As for those who leave the prayer out of laziness, then there is this difference of opinion amongst Ahl al-Ilm. The Jumhur, the majority of the scholars, they say that they are Muslim, but they are very sinful. And some of the scholars, they say, no, rather the person has left the fold of Islam. And they differ over how many prayers that person leaves. Is it one prayer? Is it more than one prayer? Because some of the Muslims, even nowadays, you see they are on and off. Sometimes they are on the prayer, sometimes they are on the prayer. But what is required upon each and every one of us is to be patient with those members of our families who do not pray, advise them, wanting good for them, guiding them to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep reminding them, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. With the remembrance of Allah, the hearts are content. And also وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ نَعْمَ. The reminder aids the believers. نعم تنفع المؤمنين. It aids the believers. So the dhikr of Allah aids the believers. So the salah, the Prophet ﷺ said, العهد الذي بيننا وبينهم الصلاة فمن تركها فقد كفر. The pact or the thing between us and them, mean us, the Muslims and the disbelievers, is the prayer. Whoever leaves it, then he has disbelieved. And the Prophet ﷺ said, بين الرجل والشرك والكفر ترك الصلاة. Between a man and his shirk and kufr is discarding the prayer, meaning that this is one of the reasons for a person to fall into disbelief. And some of the scholars said this is kufr in action, some of them said this is kufr in belief, and there is, as we said, the difference of opinion. But what is what should be known is, at least even those scholars that say that the person is not a disbeliever but he's still a Muslim but very sinful, then that is a major sin, and the person will enter hellfire because of this major sin if Allah doesn't forgive him. And this is the first thing that the person will be asked on Yawm al-Qiyamah, the Salah. If it is sound, then Alhamdulillah, the rest will be good, inshaAllah. And if it is corrupt or in need and deficient, then what is to transpire after that will be also difficult for that person. The first thing to be questioned is the prayer. And there is an authentic narration also, the salah will protect one of your sides in the grave. And the zakah will protect one of your sides in the grave. And the fasting will protect one of your sides in the grave. And the sadaqah will protect one of your sides in the grave. The hajj will protect one of your sides in the grave. So your ibadah, your hajj, if you're able to do it, that is, your ibadah will protect you. Your ibadah will protect you. So worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will protect you inshaAllah in the grave, like a barrier from the punishment of the grave. So the prayer. The Prophet ﷺ, before he passed away, he said, As-salah, as-salah, wa ma malakat aymanukum. The prayer, and what your right hands possess. Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Hafidullah said regarding this hadith, that the prayer, this is the haqq of Allah, and what your right hands possess, those who are under your responsibility, then that is the haqq of the people. So the Messenger ﷺ, in his concise speech, he mentioned the haqq of Allah that you must fulfill, and the haqq of the people before he died. As-salah, as-salah, wa ma malakat aymanukum. And other than that, from those verses which clearly show that we have to guard our prayer, Prophet ﷺ said, kalla innaha lava, in Surah Al-Ma'arij, kalla innaha lava, nazza'atan lishawa, tad'u man adbara wa tawalla, wa jama'a fa'aw'a, innal insana khuliqa halu'a, idha massahu sharru jazu'a, wa idha massahu al-khayru manu'a, illa al-musallin, alladhina hum ala salatihim da'imun. Except the musallin. What does it mean, except the musallin? If we look at the beginning of that section, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, kalla innaha lava, indeed it is the hellfire. It is the hellfire. Lava is the hellfire. Kalla innaha lava, nazza'atan lishawa, nazza'atan, it will be, yani, it will roast those who, yani, who turn away. And not only that, those who adbara wa tawalla, it will call them. They will not escape. They will not be able to escape the hellfire. كلا إنها لظى نزاعة للشوى. إيش قلنا؟ نزاعة للشوى. تدعو من أدبر وتولى. تدعو من أدبر وتولى. وجمع فأوعى. جمع فأوعى. The person who just swapped this dunya just to gather wealth, just to gather more and more wealth, he didn't actually purify his wealth with sadaqah, with charity. And most times you find in the Quran, أقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة. Always establish the prayer as well as يعني giving the charity, paying the charity. They usually come hand in hand in the Quran, أقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة. And in this verse likewise, they didn't, these individuals who entered the fire, that the hellfire called, not only they didn't pray, or they were neglectful of their prayers, فَوَيْدُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. So woe to those who pray, and wail in Arabic, in the tafsir, it is mentioned as being a river in hellfire. And that is going to be for the ones who are neglectful of their prayers. فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Those who are neglectful of their prayers. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu explained. They said, سَاهُونَ, what is سَاهُونَ? أَخَّرُوا وَقْتَهَا. They delayed his prayer. And they did not do the ruku' properly. Because the worst thief is the one who steals in the ruku'. When he comes to ruku', he says, Allahu Akbar, Sami' Allah liman hamida. He doesn't do ruku' with itminan, with tranquility and calmness. Subhana Rabbil Azim. Wallahi, when we pray next to Shaykh Ubayd, subhanAllah, how calm. And Shaykh Rabi' once we prayed in the haram, how calm their salah is, subhanAllah. The ulama, their salah, not rushed. Subhana Rabbil Azim. Subhana Rabbil Azim. Subhana Rabbil Azim. سبوح قدوس ربي ملائكة والروح. يعني the أذكار, mention the أذكار with contentment, with calmness and tranquility. سمع الله لمن حمده. It's reported from Anas رضي الله عنه that when they would stand up in the prayer, they would, it's as if they forgot, when they would, as if they thought the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم forgot to go down in sujood. Why? Because when he came up from ruku', it was so long. سمع الله لمن حمده حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه. And other adhkar that you can mention regarding the coming, rising or going up from the ruku'. And subhanallah, when you see the a'imma, the ulama, calmness in their prayer, in sujood, سبحان ربي الأعلى, and even in Fatiha, we pray next to Shaykh Ubayd, subhanallah, even in the Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And if you stop after every verse, this is from the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in a hadith which is recorded by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and it's a hadith which is in Sahih Muslim, hadith Qudsi, where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that Allah said, قسمت الصلاة بيني وبين عبدي نصفين فإذا قال العبد الحمد لله رب العالمين قال الله حمدني عبدي وإذا قال العبد الرحمن الرحيم قال الله أثنى علي عبدي وإذا قال العبد مالك يوم الدين قال الله مجدني عبدي وإذا قال العبد إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين قال الله هذا بيني وبين عبدي وإذا قال العبد اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Those last three verses, قال الله هذا لعبدي ولعبدي ما سأل. in this hadith of in Sahih Muslim, the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger said that Allah said, I have divided the prayer between my servant and myself into two parts. So when my servant says, all praise is due to Allah, I reply, my servant has praised me. And when my servant says, Athna alayya ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the most merciful, the most kind, or the beneficent, Allah replies, my servant has extolled me, yani honored me. And when my servant says, Maliki yawmiddin, Allah replies, my servant has exalted me. And when my servant says, you I worship and your aid I seek alone, Allah replies, this is between me and my servant. Yani, are you truly upon tawheed or not? Haqiqatan anta ala tawheed? Ala ibadati Allah wahdahu la sharika la? Or not? That's why Allah says, hada bayni wa bayna abdi. This is between me and my slave. Are you truly worshipping Allah? Are you truly doing ibadah? Are you truly doing salah in its time? Because the salah is in its prescribed time. In its prescribed time, just like Allah has written yani other forms of worship in their prescribed time, the salah is also in its prescribed time. Kitaban mawquta, yani in a prescribed time. And Jibril alayhi salam came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and showed the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the times of the prayer, the beginning and the end times of the prayer. So it is in their time. Na'am, the person may fall short. It happened to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't get up one morning in the valley. When he woke up, he said, this valley has a shaitan in it. For Rasulullah ﷺ, he showed us what to do even in that situation. Rasulullah ﷺ, who's guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best of the people, and he showed us even in that situation what to do. If you tried your best to get up in the morning for Fajr and you fell short, you fell short, you overslept, you put your alarm on and you tried your best to get up, but qadar Allah ma sha'a fa'al, maybe you had a busy day the night before, you were doing gardening or something difficult, you fell asleep. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say to Bilal radhiyallahu anhu? He says, do the adhan. They did the adhan, then they established the prayer. And one good advice that the ulama mentioned is that you should change your place of sleep. If you didn't get up in that place, change your place of sleep, because there's a shaitan there, or shaitan has led you astray there. Change your place. So if you slept the particular, change your place. Some of the ulama, they mentioned that in order to keep away from the whispers of shaitan. And this is what the Prophet said about that valley, that there's a shaitan in here. And they moved from that area, and then they established the salah. So therefore, the salah is indeed great in the sight of Allah, and one of the great forms of tawheed, of establishing tawheed, is the salah. And when you look at the misguided groups, wallahi, their salah is miskeen. Their salah is so much miskeen. When you see the Hizb al-Tahrir or Jama'at Tabligh or all these other groups, you see their prayer as if they don't know how to pray. Rasulullah ﷺ said, hadith Bukhari Muslim, reported in Bukhari Muslim, sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli, pray as if you have seen me pray. Which prayer is like the Sahaba prayer? Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu and Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu anhum, both of them reported, hadith in Bukhari, Kitab al-Adhan, we saw each and every one of us, or each and every one of us used to join his shoulders with the shoulders of the next person, and the heels with their heels, the bottom part of the foot with the next person, ankle with their ankle. They used to join who's that? The Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu. And the Prophet approved of that. How did he approve of that? He approved that because he said, I see you behind my back. Allahu Akbar. He said, straighten the rows, for I see you behind my back. So Allah gave him the ability to even see behind his back without even facing the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum. So that is an approval from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of how they prayed. Where do you find this? You find this with the Salafiyun, the Ahl Hadith, those who are adhering to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, shoulders to shoulders and feet with the feet. And that is why, because we do not allow shaitan to come between us. And Shaykh Rabi Hafidhullah himself said that. He said, I tried it myself. When I prayed and I joined my shoulders and my heels with the next person, the next praying person, I found that I concentrated more in my prayer. And when I found that يعني the person moved away from me, I found shaitan came between us. And this is what Rasulullah said, close your gaps, for shaitan enters between you like black sheep. So what does it mean, close your gaps? Here already the Sahaba showed us what it means. We follow Quran, Sunnah, and the Sahaba. They showed us how to close the gaps. And they closed the gaps with the Sunnah of Rasulullah. With the Sunnah of Rasulullah, yani the proof of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And that is from his Sunnah, At-Taqririyya, which he accepted in their presence. So the Salah, don't fall short in the Salah. All of us are in need. All of us, we fall short, and we are human. So if you, there is a narration which mentions that if you did try your best and you slept, then the other narration is mentioned, and that is رُفِعَ الْقَلُمُ عَلَى الثَّلَاثِ, that the pen is lifted upon three. And one of them is عَلَى النَّائِمْ حَتَّى يَسْتَيْقِظُ, the pen is lifted upon the one who sleeps until he wakes up. And this doesn't mean that you are continuous, this is rare. Rarely the situation that you miss your Salatul Fajr. But if it happens, then it, and you tried your best not to miss it, then inshallah you come under that hadith that يعني, the pen is lifted upon that one until he wakes up. Until he wakes up. Because he tried his best not to miss the Fajr. And he was known to pray Fajr regularly. But because he missed it, قَدَرَ اللَّهُ مَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ, due to يعني, another reason outside his ability, meaning because of his health or whatever, then inshallah يعني, he will be rewarded. يعني, in fact, there's one narration which mentions Allah will make that time span spacious for him. Allah will extend that time for him, as if he prayed on time. As if he prayed on time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that time for you, as if you prayed on time, because you yourself tried not to miss it. And the reason why we speak about that particular prayer, we speak about all the prayer, yani all the salah is important. But because what we have witnessed from the ulama is that they always stress the fajr, and they always stress the asr, and they always stress, yani in general, the salawat in general. But because these two prayers, inshallah, are a reason for you to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Day of Judgment, as in the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, aid me with the fajr and the asr, aid me, yani with the shafa'a, or with you seeing Allah with al-fajr and asr. As for the next part, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah says, وَالْإِيمَانُ بِالْمِيزَانِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, and we must believe in the mizan, the balance on the Day of Judgment. The balance, the scales. كَمَا جَاءَ يُوزَنُ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, the slave will be weighed on the Day of Judgment. فَلَا يَزِنُ جَنَاحَ فَلَا يَزِنُ جَنَاحَ بَعُوضَةِ, he will not even weigh the janah or the wing of a mosquito. وَتُوزَنُ أَعْمَالُ الْعِبَادِ كَمَا جَاءَ فِي الْأَذَرِ, and also the أَعْمَالُ الْعِبَادِ, the actions of the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be weighed. وَالْإِيمَانُ بِهِ, and we believe in that. وَالْتَصْدِيقُ بِهِ, and we trust in that. وَالْإِعْرَادُ عَمَّنْ رَدَّ لِذَلِكَ, and we turn away from those who negate that and refute that. وَتَرْكُ مُجَادَلَتِهِ, and also we leave arguing with that person. Look how Imam Ahmad, throughout Usul al-Sunnah, nobody can bring any excuse that Imam Ahmad rahimahullah cooperated with the innovators. Nobody can bring that. Throughout this Usul al-Sunnah, he's always saying, don't argue with the innovators, and also, yani, turn away from those who go against the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. It doesn't mean that you initially don't advise the people. No, advise them. But if they, the individuals that you are advising, they have arrogance and they turn away from this blessed methodology, then leave him. And you tried your best. وَمَا عَلَى الرَّسُولِ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغِ, so initially you do your best to advise them. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, look what he's saying. وَالْإِعْرَاد, and to turn away. عَمَّنْ رَدَّ ذَلِكَ, those who refute that and reject that, you turn away from them. Shaykh Rabi Hafidullah, he says, يُؤْتَ بِالرَّجُلِ الْعَظِيمِ السَّمِينِ, and this is the authentic narration. A man will come, and he is large, now, not a thin man, a very big man will come, large, fat, and he will not weigh in the sight of Allah, he will not weigh even the wing of a mosquito. هَذَا فِيهِ دَلِيلٌ عَلَى أَنَّ الْأَشْخَاصِ يُوزَنُونَ, this is proof that the people themselves, each and every one of us, will be weighed. So how would you like to be weighed, ya ikhwan? Would you like to be weighed and be heavy on the scales? Or would you like to be weighed and you are light? We would like to be heavy on the scales. But if you follow the companions, then you'll be heavy, inshallah, on the scales. If you have the correct aqidah, you'll be heavy on the scales. Shaykh Rabi Hafidullah says, the heaviest things on the scale on the Day of Judgment is the aqidah. The aqidah, the belief of the Muslim. The heaviest thing on the scale on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. And this is why Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said to those who deny the Qadr, if you deny tell them, he said to those who came from Iraq, tell them that even if they were to give a gold the size of Uhud, it will not aid them until they believe in the Qadr. If they gave gold in charity the size of Uhud, it will not benefit them until they believe in Al-Qadr, the predestination, the good and bad. Whatever happens, happens by the will of Allah, and Allah knows it's going to happen before it happens. Believe in that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us the greatness of that belief of Al-Qadr, and the greatness of the belief of loving the companions, and the greatness of the belief in believing in Allah's beautiful names and attributes correctly, and the greatness of the belief in the Tawheed Al-Ibadah, of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone in all the forms of worship, calling upon Him alone, relying upon Him alone, hoping to meet Him. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. And keeping up with the ibadat, the fiqh of the ibadat, praying on time, loving to pray on time. A man came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said to him, أَيُّ عَمَلٍ أَفْضَلْ, what is the best deed? The Prophet said, As-salatu fi waqtiha, the prayer in its time. Then the man said, thumma mada, then what's next? He said, al-jihadu fi sabilillah. Look, he preceded the salah over jihad fi sabilillah, showing you the greatness of the salah in its time, as the scholars clarify. And also, enjoining good and forbidding the evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wal mu'minuna wal mu'minat, ba'duhum awliya'u ba'd, ya'muruna bil ma'ruf, wa yanhauna 'anil munkar, ويقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة ويطيعون الله ورسوله ورسول. Allah's messenger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse, and he clarifies the qualities and the characteristics of the believers, male and female. Well, who are they? The believers, male and female, are friends and protectors of each other. Just like your wife is your protector, of your deen, as well as you are protector of her deen. Encouraging each other to worship Allah, encouraging your children, encouraging your parents and your families, friends and protectors of each other. بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. What is the first quality he mentioned? They enjoin good and forbid the evil. What's the greatest good? Tawheed. The greatest evil, or the most dangerous of all evils? الشرك بالله. And then innovations and so on and so forth after that. Shaykh bin Baz rahimahullah said, look at the importance of enjoining good and forbidding the evil. Allah mentioned it in this verse, he said, before even establishing the prayer. And we all know that establishing the prayer is important. And here in this verse, he mentioned it before even the salah, showing you the importance of enjoining good and forbidding the evil. So don't fall short. Don't think you can't or you're not able. If you meet someone on the bus, if you meet someone on the streets, and you're talking to the people, advise them, call them to Islam. If they're not Muslim, and if they're Muslim, call them to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Call them to Tawheed if they don't know that. Your families, don't fall short in that, because this is from the quality of the characters of the believers, that they enjoin good. And this, inshallah, will make you heavy on the scales. And as for the hadith about the heaviest on the scales is the akhlaq, Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi said that is regarding the mu'amalat, the interactions between people. As for the heaviest in terms of the heaviest thing on the scales is the aqidah and your ibadah, your worship and your belief. That is the heaviest on the scales, inshallah, on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. And in terms of the interactions is your akhlaq, your manners, your etiquette, how you are and how you are with the people, being truthful, being honest, fulfilling your promises and your oaths. And then he mentioned the story or the situation of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma in an authentic narration, when he was on a tree, on a branch, and then a wind came and it blew him and he fell down. And he got blown off a branch. by a wind that came. And some of the companions, they were amused by this. So the Prophet ﷺ said to them, "Yani, you are amused by that, by this, indeed, yani, by his thin shins, because his shins were thin, and he was thin." So he said, "You are amazed and you are laughing about this. لا تعجبوا من دقة ساقيه فإنهما أثقل في الميزان من جبل أحد." Don't be surprised or don't be amazed by the thinness of his his shins, for they will be more heavier, or they will be heavier on the scales than Mount Uhud. And if you go to Medina, you see how big Mount Uhud is, then you see how great that mountain is. So just those shins of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu will be heavier than the mountain of Uhud. And that narration is in Musnad Imam Ahmad, and it is authentic, it is sahih. Shaykh Al-Bani Allah mentioned silsila sahiha. هذا دليل على أن الأشخاص يوزنون وأما الأعمال فلا خلاف فيها أنها توزن. Even the actions, there's no difference of opinion that the actions will be weighed. And the Mu'tazila and the Jahmiyyah and the people of misguidance, they deny the mizan. They deny that there's going to be a mizan al-mahsus, يعني a scales, يعني a real scale that is going to actually weigh the actions as well as the people as well as the scrolls. And they are from the people of misguidance, he says. And the mizan will have two balances, one on the right, one on the left. Yani will have two scales. The scale will have two balances, one on the right, one فيهما الأعمال, where the actions will be weighed, the good and the bad. فمن ثقلت موازينه فأولئك فمن ثقلت موازينه نعم الآية فهو في عيشة راضية. نعم نعم أزين سورة القيامة سورة نسأل الله السلامة. ها نعم فمن ثقلت موازينه فأولئك فهم في عيشة راضية. Then they will be upon a معيشة which is pleasing, a life which is pleasing, and they will be happy. نعم ومن خفت موازينه فأمه هاوية. And the one whose scales is light, then his end or result or his end abode will be Hawiya, will be the hellfire which is consuming. Hawiya means the consumer, because hellfire from its names, it is that it consumes. Whatever enters it is consumed. Nasallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here the Shaykh Rabi mentions the hadith of the man who has 99 scrolls of bad deeds. One scroll is enough to cover the heavens and the earth, the distance of the heavens and the earth. And it will be said to him, "Halaka amal." Well, do you have any good actions? Khalas, he feels now he's destroyed, and he feels that he has no good deeds, and he will be in the hellfire. "Halaka min khair." Do you have any good deeds? "Halaka min amal." Do you have any actions? "Fayakulu ya la ya Rabbi." And he will say to Allah, "No, my Lord." "Fayakulu balaka indana hasana." "No, you have a hasana, a good deed with us." "La yudlimu rabbuka ahada." Your Lord would not oppress anyone. فَتُوضَعُ نعم فَتُوضَعُ لَا إِلَهِ اللَّهِ فِي كِفَّةِ وَتُوضَعُ هَذِهِ السِّجِلَّاتِ التِّسْعَةِ سِجِلًّا فِي كِفَّةٍ فَتُرَجَّحُ بِهِمَ لَا إِلَهِ اللَّهِ لِأَنَّهُ لَا يَثْقُلُ مَعَ اسْمِ اللَّهِ شَيْءٍ. سبحان الله. And this hadith clarifies that it will be brought for him a card, and it written "La ilaha illallah." It will be put on one side of the scales, and on the other side his 99 scrolls of bad deeds, and "La ilaha illallah" will outweigh all of these bad deeds. Now, "La ilaha illallah," the ulama say this hadith is proof to show you the importance of tawheed. So not only the person said it with his tongue, "La ilaha illallah," just utterance, without actually fulfilling the conditions of "La ilaha illallah." Obviously, if he's a new Muslim and he just died, then that's an excuse for him. He just died, and he didn't live long enough to establish the benefits, the fact that he entered Islam, alhamdulillah, this is khair for him, and he didn't have enough time, so that will be an excuse for him. But as for the person who is able to learn but still he doesn't learn the tawheed and the meaning of the greatness of tawheed and fulfill its conditions, the seven conditions of tawheed, which is mustaqra'a, which is derived from the Quran and the Sunnah, then that person, يعني, he has less of an excuse. So la ilaha illallah, kalimat al-tawheed, will be put on one scale, and look how tawheed is important, ya ikhwan. Look how great tawheed is. Tawheed is so important, Allah. You maintain Allah's oneness in His worship and calling to that, being sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, ala lillahi dinul khalis, to Allah belongs the sincere religion. This is the sincerity that Allah orders us with. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. And you have not been ordered except that you worship Allah sincerely in His religion, being sincere. Wallahi, this is as many of the Salaf used to say, and Shaykh Muhammad al-Banna Hafidhah himself said, when he was asked, how does one become sincere? Shaykh Muhammad al-Banna Hafidhah replied and said, when you find out, tell me. When you find out, tell me. And sometimes you see him crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and murmuring that how am I going to be? I'm going to die and maybe I enter paradise or maybe I enter the hellfire. How am I going to be? Wallahi, repeating that Allah save us, Allah save us. And this is a man who finishes Quran in 3 days. This is a scholar who finishes Quran in 3 days, and he fasts 3 days of every month, as well as the Mondays and Thursdays every week. And he said to me once that he was doing this since he was 20 years old. Yani maybe 70 years upon that ibadah of fasting. Subhanallah. And the ibadah of reciting the Quran, and the ibadah of keeping up the salawat. In his old age, wallahi, if you see this great sheikh, wallah, if you see him while he is in his 90s, now is 94. 97 in Islamic calendar, 94 in the Gregorian calendar, because 3 years, for every 30 years, there's extra year for the Hijri. 97 years old in the Hijri calendar, subhanallah. This great imam, this great sheikh, subhanallah, Sheikh Rabi Hafidhullah says, just learn his manners, it will benefit you. Just learn his manners, subhanallah. Because he said, and this was more than 12 years ago, he said, this man has been upon da'wah to Salafiyyah for 60 years. So add another 10 years now, 70 years he's been upon da'wah to Salafiyyah. And yet he sees himself deficient, he sees himself weak, in need of Allah. This is how knowledge should benefit us. It shouldn't make us arrogant and proud, chest out in the air, mashallah, I've learnt. What have you learnt, ya akhi? وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. Above everyone who knows, there is somebody who knows more. So don't think that you know more than anybody else. And the more you know, the more it should tell you you don't know. Wallahi, this is the knowledge that benefits. The more you know, because tomorrow is our reckoning, ya ikhwan. And today is amal. Tomorrow there's no amal, and it's going to be hisab. There's going to be the scales, and we're going to be weighed, and our actions are going to be weighed, and the scrolls are going to be weighed of the good deeds or bad deeds. So how have we prepared ourselves for that? With argumentation, with causing fitna, with making problems in communities. How are we going to come in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala having caused one problem? How are we going to come on Yawm al-Qiyamah with having led people astray? How? وقد ورد في حديث لو وضعت السماوات السبع ومن فيهن والأراضين السبع ومن فيهن في كفة ولا إله إلا الله في كفة لمالت بهن لا إله إلا الله. And is another authentic narration in the Musnad Imam Ahmad, and it's Nisnadi Sahih, as al-Dhahabi agreed. And he said that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if the whole of the heavens and the earth were put on a scale, on one side of the scale, Allahu Akbar, and whatever is in them, so whatever is in them, the angels, the jinn, mankind, all of creation is put on a kiffah, and la ilaha illallah is put on a kiffah, it will outweigh all of that. Allahu Akbar. Nothing will outweigh the kalimat al-tawheed. And this is why when Abu Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu, he said to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ya Rasulullah, ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, من هم أسعد الناس؟ Who is the most content people? يوم القيامة, on the day of judgment. He, صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, first of all, I didn't know anyone will precede you in asking this question because of your hirs, your concern that you have in studying, in ilm, in gaining, in wanting to gain knowledge. I didn't think anyone would precede you in asking this, because Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he strived his utmost to be with Rasulullah. Yani, with only 3 years, he became Muslim, 7th year Hijriya. 3 years he lived with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he narrated the most hadith because he was with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam always. So how was what did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said after that? He said, "Asadun nas yom al qiyamah bi shafa'ati." The most content people with regards to my shafa'ah, and the hadith says bi shafa'ah. Who is the most content regarding your shafa'ah on the day of judgment, your intercession on the day of judgment? He said, the most content people regards my shafa'ah on the day of judgment are those who say, الَّذِينَ قَالُوا لَا إِلَهِ اللَّهِ خَالِصًا مِّن قَلْبِ. Those who say, لَا إِلَهِ sincerely from their hearts. So they are upon tawheed. Just not belittle tawheed. The jama'at, they belittle tawheed. They compromise tawheed. Hassan al-Banna, from his motto is, لَتَعَاوَنُ فِي مَتَّفَقْنَا عَلَيْهِ. وَيُعْذِرُ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا فِي مَخْتَلَفْنَا فِيهِ. We cooperate in that which we agree upon, and those things we don't agree upon, we can excuse each other. Even aqeedah, excuse each other. How can you excuse the aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah? How can you excuse tawheed? Person of shirk and bid'ah and khurafat, superstitions, and he curses the companions, and he's your brother. How can he be? How could that be? The Rafidah and the Shia are your brothers. How could that be? Masallah salama. And this is what they do, ya ikhwan. And all of the jama'at, as the scholars mentioned, all of the jama'at, they unite upon one thing. Eventually they all unite upon the saif, the sword. When you ask them about the affairs of how to deal with the ruler, they always get it wrong. They don't know. Why? Because it's based, we follow knowledge. Knowledge from قال الله قال رسول الله. Sahaba. The Sahaba never used to go out against the rulers, the Muslim rulers. They never used to go out against them, yani, to cause more harm than good. They never used to do that, fearing bloodshed and fearing much harm. Anas bin Malik, when they came to him and they said to him, complaining about Hajjaj, the unjust, oppressive ruler at that time, what did they say? What did he say to them? He says, be patient. For every year will come will be worse than the former. I don't mean 1 year rain, another year no rain. I don't mean that. I mean your scholars will die and the people will take the ignorant ones as their leaders, and they will go astray and lead others astray. This is what, and in that same narration he says, I don't mean you have 1 year good leaders, 1 year bad leaders. So the khair in the ummah is not because of the leaders. Allahu Akbar. Anas bin Malik, the hadith Bukhari, a statement in Bukhari, mentioned in Bukhari, and Ibn Hajar rahimahullah has a long section on that, a beautiful section where he mentions about how to be with the rulers. Look how Anas radiallahu anhu said to them, not to rush, not to be hasty, be patient, for every year that comes will be worse than the former. And I don't mean 1 year you will have rain or no rain, 1 year you have good ruler and no good ruler. No, what I mean, and the khair of the ummah will be because of your ulama. What I mean is that your scholars will die. That's why it will be shar for the ummah. Your scholars will die. Just like when Shaykh bin Baz rahimahullah and Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah and Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah and Shaykh Muqbil rahimahullah, when they passed away, much shar came to the ummah. Much division came to the ummah. Look, mashallah tabarakallah, these great a'immah, when they were in their countries, there was much khair in the countries. There's still khair, alhamdulillah, but much less than it used to be. Much less. Many of the innovators never opened their mouths in Saudi Arabia. Never opened their mouths. They were scared. And when they opened their mouths, they were imprisoned. Alhamdulillah, never opened their mouths against the rulers. And when they opened and made up some isharat like that, then they were imprisoned by the advice of Sheikh bin Baz, rahimullah. Safran Salman were under house arrest. Alhamdulillah. Why? Because of their tapes calling the people, instigating the people against the leaders. Open petitions in newspapers, Is this nasiha? Where the Prophet said, "Man arada yasadi sultani fala yubdihi alaniyatan." Whoever wishes to advise the ruler not to do it openly, walakin ya'khud bi yadi, but rather take him by the hand, wa yakhlu bihi, and secretly advise him. And if he accepts it, alhamdulillah. If he doesn't accept it, then faqad adda alladhi alayh, then he has already fulfilled that was upon him. So after the death of these great imams, what did we find? We find the people now, they came out, caused fitna, lots of fitna. Yes, Allah salama. Now they're saying we should have Shia schools in Saudi Arabia. What are they going to teach? Love of Sahaba? La wallah. The Rafida, they curse the companions. They openly in Medina, you can see them not doing the salawat. And if they're praying, they're praying on they always pray. They don't pray on the carpet. They always pray, and you always find them on the ceramic floor praying. They don't pray on the carpet. They believe that you shouldn't pray on the carpet. And some of them, they get the stone and they pray on the stone to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the shafa'a of that earth that is gathered around the graves of the Ahl Bayt. They get that earth. And as we saw them once in Baqi', they go to Baqi' and they, when no one's looking, they get the sand, yani from the graves of the Sahaba, from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like Fatima and other than Fatima radiallahu anha, and they use that, and they use it in order, yani, to intercede or to get closer to Allah by that wasila, by that means. And that is not from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of that is shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when Allah said ibtaghu ilayhi alwasila, seek nearness to Allah, not through this way. Allah said seek nearness to Allah through the legislated way, by calling upon him by his beautiful names, by when you supplicate to Allah, by asking Allah, yani, through your good deeds, and by going to those who are alive and asking them to make dua for you. This allowed, yani, if they are alive and they are known to be righteous. Subhanallah. As for going to the dead and asking them and taking a bit of the Kaaba, you know, some of them, they get scissors with them, they go close to the Kaaba, no one's looking, they take a piece of the cloth and they bring it home to seek nearness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is even more than that. Some of them, even they seek nearness through the so-called awliya of Allah. Yani those liars, the Sufi sheikhs, and they go to them and they give them their spit or their sweat or their hair under their armpit in order to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is mentioned by Sheikh Salih Sahimi in the Haram, in Masjid al-Nabawi. He mentioned it about, he said, many, many years ago, this is what they used to do. They would go to this man in the Masjid al-Nabawi, the so-called Sufi sheikh, and they would ask him for their needs, and he would spit in a cup and they would drink it. Jazakallahu salama. How low can you go? Drinking somebody else's spit. And he's from the awliya al-shaytan, not from the awliya al-rahman. Ya'ni, no understand. So here, Sheikh Rabih ends this section by saying, he mentions the proof that the mizan is thabit, the scales are true, are something real, that's going to be real. As Allah says, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. And we will put the mawazin al-qist, the just balanced scales, on the Day of Judgment. Will be put forward, so nobody, no soul will be oppressed in the least, in anything. وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا. Even if it is an atom's weight, we will bring it forth. وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. And we are sufficient to be a hasib. We are sufficient to be one to call you to account. And that is in Surah Al-Anbiya 47. And as for Surah Al-A'raf 103, وَمَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ فِي جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدُونَ. And those whose scales are light, then they are the ones who have lost their souls. They have lost their souls because they forgot Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْخَاسِرِينَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَهْلِيهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينُ. And in the other verse, فَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُوَّ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةٌ. And then Sheikh Rabi Hafidhullah says, وَمَعَ الْأَسَفِ Sayyid Qutb, وَاللَّهِ يُنْكِرُ الْمِيزَانِ. He says, and how sorry that we can say this, that Sayyid Qutb himself denies the mizan. The one that the political activists call the A'immat al-Da'wah, he denies the mizan. He denies the scales. يُنْكِرُ رُؤْيَةَ اللَّهِ, he denies the seeing of Allah. وَسَارَ مَعَ الْجَهْمِيَّةِ مَعَ الْجَهْمِيَّةِ, and he became with the Jahmiyyah, وَمَعَ الْمُعْتَزِلَةِ, and with the Mu'tazila, فِي كَثِيرٍ مِنَ الْعَقَائِدِ, in many of the beliefs. وَاللَّهِ هَذَا حَاصِلٌ, he says, by Allah, this is true. This is something which is real. It's true that he says this. وَنَحْنُ نَقُولُ هَذَا, and we say this, لِأَلَّا يَخْدَعُ النَّاسِ بِكُتُبِ هَذَا الرَّجُلِ, such that the people are not deceived by his books. فَإِنَّهَا وَاللَّهِ مَلِيئَةٌ بِالضَّلَالَاتِ يَا إِخْوَتَا, by Allah, they are full of misguidance, his books. وَاللَّهِ فِي أُزُسِ الْأُزُسِ, يعني from the most fundamental of our fundamentals, وَأُصُولِ الْأُصُولِ, Sayyid Qutb, in the fundamentals, يَتَخَبَّطْ وَضَايَعْ وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنَ الشَّبَابِ سَيُضِيعُونَ بِسَبَبِ تَقْدِيسِهِمْ لَهُ, he is lost in many of the affairs, يعني of the أُصُول, of the fundamentals, and many of the shabab, the youths, because of their over-praising him, over honoring him and glorifying him, they will also be led astray. Because he himself, he calls the societies, yani he makes blanket takfir of societies, as if to say everybody is not a Muslim, yani except himself and those with him. وَإِنْزَالُهُمْ لَهُ غَيْرْ مَنْزِلَتِهِ, and also you find them, they give him a level above his level. فَلَا تَجِدُ الْمُعْتَزِلِي وَالْجَهْمِي فِي بِدْعَ إِلَّا شَارَكَهُمْ فِيهَا, you do not find the bid'ah with the Mu'tazili and the Jahmi, that Jahmi have, except that he has yani partaken in their innovation. وَجُلُّهَا, and all of it لَهُمْ, نعم وَجَلَّاهَا لَهُمْ, and he clarified it even further for them. وَضَّحَهَا مَعَ الْأَسَفِ, and how sorry we are in saying that. Not only he showed their positions, but he clarified it for them. And also Sheikh Muhammad al-Banna, he says that he denied the Arsh of Ar-Rahman. He denied the Arsh. Just like the Mu'tazila, they denied the Arsh. And the Jahmiyyah, they denied the Arsh. And they denied the Ulu. So there's dalalat upon dalalat. And that's why Sheikh Muhammad al-Banna says his dhilal al-Quran should not be called dhilal, but called dalal. But called misguidance, not shade. Because dhilal means shade, and dalal means misguidance. فَهُوَ يُنْكِرُ الْمِيزَانِ, so he negates the mizan, the balance. وَالْعَرْشِ وَأَشْيَاء كَثِيرًا, and many things. مَازِقٌ وَاللَّهِ, يعني he has gone astray by Allah. And notice, those who praise him, Safar Hawali praises him in his Dahirat al-Irja. Half of the book is all praise of Sayyid Qutb, call him Shaheed, Shaheed, Shaheed. And he knows that Ahlul Sunnah don't say Shaheed for anyone, except that Allah and his Rasul have bore witness that they're in paradise. So it's not for any one of us to say Shaheed Hasan al-Banna, Shaheed Sayyid Qutb. La. We say Insha'Allah, if we know somebody's upon Tawheed, Insha'Allah, Insha'Allah he's Shaheed. We hope he is Shaheed. Insha'Allah. But you cannot say Fulan fil Jannah or Nar specifically by name. Allahu A'lam. Maybe he's in the hellfire, like the man who put the dagger in himself. And the Sahaba said, he's, MashaAllah, look how brave he was. He's in paradise. Rasulullah said he's in the hellfire. And one of the companions followed his trait, followed that man, and he said, by Allah, yani, Rasulullah spoke the truth. Why? Because he followed this man and he had an injury. He couldn't take the injury, and he pierced himself with a dagger until he killed himself. So because of that, he entered the hellfire. He entered the hellfire. And Salman al-Awda says, Sayyid Qutb min a'immatil huda, from the scholars of guidance. So you can see how the political activists, how they praise these individuals. Why? Because of politics. What happened to aqidah? What happened to ibadah? What happened to tawheed? The heaviest on the scales. Politics is not the heaviest. Allah won't ask you about Tony Blair and Bush and all these other yani leaders in your grave. He won't ask you on the day judgment about these individuals and about this ruler and that ruler. You will be asked about yourself. you ask about your ibadah, and you be asked about your aqidah. Who is Allah? And who is your Prophet? And what state did you die upon? State of Islam. What did you die upon? That state. This is what you'll be asked about in the grave. Rasulullah did not come to be a politician. Rasulullah came to be a worshipper of Allah. And Allah described him as being an abid. Sheikh Rabi' Hafidhullah ends this section. He says, المعتزلة والجهمية وأهل الضلال والباطنية ينكرون هذه الأشياء والإيمان به والتصديق به والإعراض عمن رد ذلك وترك مجادلته وعرفتم ما يقال في المجادلة. You already have studied and you already have clarified the section of the مجادلة. And inshallah we'll continue another time. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala khairi khalqillah Muhammad wa akhir da'wan alhamdulillah bil alamin. So the next time will be tomorrow after Fajr, will be inshallah, if Muhammad Nadeem is here, our brother Muhammad Nadeem, who's a graduate from Kutul Hadith, jazallahu khairan, if he is a senior and also who benefited from the mashayikh, the likes of Sheikh Muhammad al-Banna and Sheikh Rabi', then he is awla, he is before us inshallah. So if he's here at Fajr time, we would not like to speak yani in his presence. So we'd like him to yani take over, especially I think he's traveling, then he's coming back. So it would be nice if he yani can give the class at Fajr time. We will be here anyway, in case there's no other class, we'll do something just so that there is knowledge is continuous and knowledge is not cut off. In Medina, alhamdulillah, there are classes every day. If you have a class here once a week, it's a ni'mah if the person turns up. It's a blessing if the person turns up. So we must get used to studying daily. We must get used to studying daily because a lot to learn and a lot to go, a lot to study. And this is the path of Jannah, that you are listening to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many times you say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Each time Allah says it to you tenfold. It is said to you tenfold. Man salla alayhi wahida salla alayhi ashra. Whoever says salah to me once, Allah says salah to him 10 times. What the salah of Allah upon you? To mention you in the highest of places. Allahu Akbar. And also, the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's malaika, sayyahun, they travel through their duty is just to go over the earth and to look for the majalis al-dhikr in the masajid. And when they come to the majalis al-dhikr, they fold their wings. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends tranquility and calmness to that majestic dhikr. He sends tranquility and calmness and forgiveness, inshallah, is said by the angels. And they listen and they testify. And they go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and says, they say that, oh Allah, they are mentioning good of you. They are mentioning good of you. So subhanallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, even though we have not seen him, we mention good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he is our creator. And he's the one who has given us so much good, and we should give our worship to him. We should give our worship to him alone, sincerely for his sake, not for the people, not for sum'a wala riya'. What can the people give you anyway? Nothing. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, there's no khulla, there's no friendship. Even your family will leave you. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. Everyone is concerned with himself. So what can the people give you? What can I give you? Imam Maqrizi rahimahullah, he mentioned that treat the people as if they're in their graves. And Ibn al-Qayyim said similar. Yani with regards to seeking any reward from them, you should not, as if they are dead. As if they are not even present. You are establishing the dawah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what is important. Not the people looking at you, not the people gathering yani for large numbers. This is not should be our concern. Who cares about the numbers? Should not be our concern. If Allah blesses us with the numbers, alhamdulillah biha wa ni'mat. But the blessing is in the quality, not the quantity. If they are righteous individuals who are upon tawheed and sunnah, upon ilm and amal as-salih, alhamdulillah, there's khair in that. And they go and tell their children, and so on and so forth. Man dalla an-nas ala khair, kana lahu min al-ajri min tabi'a, la yanqusu min ujurihim shay'a. Whoever calls people to good, he will have the reward of all those that follow them without their reward diminishing. And whoever, and likewise is true, the opposite is true. So calling the people to good, establishing tawheed and sunnah in your communities, calling the people to ikhlas and amal as-salih, calling the people to akhlaq, the good manners. We all fall short. None of us is perfect. Sheikh Abdul Bukhari once he was teaching, Al-Hayya of Ibn Abi Dawood, and he said, it was actually a lecture about piety, and he said, each and every one of us is a sinner. Each and every one of us is sinful. Kullu ibn Adam khata. So each and every one of us is in need of taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And each, no one has can say that khalas, we have passed the tajawazna al-qantara, yani we have passed the bridge. No. We're all gonna pass that bridge, Ya Ikhwan. Which is finer than a sword, which is finer than a hair and sharper than a sword. Each and every one of us is gonna, according to our actions. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that actions are purely for His sake. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the Quran is a proof for us, not against us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that on Yawm al-Qiyam He has mercy for us. He has mercy for us and mercy for our families and our children and our wives and our parents and our families. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide them if they're not Muslim. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide them to the truth. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and make us firm and die upon Tawheed and Sunnah and Ikhlas. For indeed, just yesterday we prayed over those who already passed away. Just yesterday. Just last year, it's been 1 year since some of us, our parents passed away. It's been 1 year. Just yesterday, subhanAllah. And they are the sabiqoon and we are the lahiqoon. We are the ones who are next. When we go to the graves and we say to the Muslim graveyards, Antum salamu alaykum ya ahl al-diyari min al-mu'minin. Antum as-sabiqoon wa nahnu al-lahiqoon. We are next. When you see your father and he is your parents or your grandparents and they have white hair, you're going to be like that tomorrow. So this is no time for us to waste. Na'am, there's a time for this and a time for that. And we have to يعني, not forget our nasib in the dunya, no doubt. وَلَا تَنْسَى نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. From the halal. Not the haram, from the halal. But remembering that these great books of aqidah always remind us to be righteous and always remind us not to forget the akhirah and not to forget our reckoning. والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم على خير خلق الله محمد وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.